It's time for Hogue Health Radio, brought to you by Hogue Memorial Hospital Presbyterian, Orange County's top hospital. And now, here's Deborah Howell.
Greetings to you, and welcome to our show. So glad you could join us today. On our show, we have a very special guest today, Dr. Stephen R. I, and that's spelled E-Y. He graduated from UCLA Med School, went on to a residency at Kaiser Hospital, and then was granted a fellowship in addiction medicine through Loma Linda University. In 2003, he became a fellow of the American Society of Addictive Medicine, one of only 250 physicians to receive that distinction here in the U.S. Dr. I joined Hogue Hospital as its medical director of the Chemical Dependency Recovery Center in October of 2006, and we're very lucky to have him on the program with us today. Welcome, Dr. I.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, when most people think about chemical dependency, they immediately think about alcoholism. But today, let's talk about the ever-widening problem of prescription pill addiction, which, of course, is a form of chemical dependency that can be very stealthy. One day you're taking pain pills after a surgery, and then for some people, it becomes very easy to start using them for everyday aches and pains, and that's not such a good idea.
That's correct. And in fact, many people do get started on pain medications through some type of trauma, whether it's a broken bone or following surgery. And, you know, it's interesting when you think about how we handle our pain medication and, in fact, how we handle medication in general. We typically will get a prescription from the doctor. Mm-hmm. We will keep it in our medicine cabinet up in our bathroom or maybe in the kitchen.
Right.
And we'll take the medication following whatever event has occurred. But when that pain issue has resolved, typically, we keep that medication, whatever is left.
Right.
We don't necessarily throw it out.
Mm-hmm.
And so lots of people have prescriptions that date back from many years ago. And it's just sort of a natural tendency that I've noticed. I think it's not just with pain pills, but all types of medications. But in any event, leaving these type of highly addictive medications in the medicine cabinet mm-hmm. can be a setup for, at another point in time, thinking, well, I've got a little bit of an ache and pain or some type of problem. Maybe I'll go ahead and take one of these.
Right. I can think of that. Vicodin is an example. I had two knee surgeries in the last 2 years, and I always had leftover Vicodin. I was tempted one day. I had a headache, and I thought, you know what? I'm not going to do this.
Right.
And the same with Ambien. People really have trouble giving up their extra Ambien when they're done with the event in their life that required it.
Yeah. Well, and another interesting thing is particularly with pain pills, but you could say the same thing for medications that treat anxiety, and that would be, well, I'm in some amount of pain. Am mm-hmm. I in enough pain that warrants a pain pill like a Vicodin? Would a Tylenol be okay? Would Motrin or Aleve be okay?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we go through some of that mental gymnastics of how bad is the pain really? And
there's a scale, isn't there, with varying faces of pain? I remember
that's
this.
Correct.
And you have to kind of know those faces.
That's right. That's right.
A 10 is a deep scowl.
Yeah, actually, it's tears running down your cheek.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's a 10.
That's a 10.
That's probably when you do need some medication.
That's right. Well, actually, you probably need to be in the emergency department or in the hospital somewhere when it's a 10.
A better point, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But certainly before it gets to a 10, there's a gray area for many people.
Well, a lot of people have different pain tolerances, so a 10 to me might be a 2 to someone else.
That's right. People have different pain tolerances, and that can be a function of who they are, how they were raised.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a function of whether or not they've taken pain pills in the past, so whether or not they have tolerance associated with pain medication.
Right.
And then we also have different sort of tolerances for the use of medication. And you could say that it's true not just for prescription drugs of abuse, but for all types of medications where, you know, some people have just come from a background where they don't take pills.
Right.
They don't take a vitamin. They don't take a blood pressure pill. They don't take anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I read something fascinating on that order. I heard that redheads are much more sensitive to pain, certainly in the dentistry department, than other individuals. Have you heard that same thing?
I have not. I'm not sure that I want to go go on record commenting on that, I might find that I get into trouble. I have not heard that, but that doesn't mean it's not.
Okay. Next time I have a dentist on, I'll ask him.
Okay.
I said it was particularly in that area.
And I'll look it up as well.
Sounds good. Now, what are some of the danger signs that someone is over-medicating?
Well, certainly changes in behavior would be one of the first things we would look at.
Mm-hmm.
We would consider, you know, however they were performing prior to maybe taking pain medication would be a key indicator. So someone, let's say, that's elderly, that's not working, you're not going to look at, well, they used to work and now they don't work. You would look at, well, they used to prepare their own breakfast and they didn't take an afternoon nap and so on.
Mm-hmm.
For people that are maybe working, you would start to look at, are they maybe getting up a little late, showing up for work late?
Right.
Are they maybe missing out on a function related to, you know, an activity with one of their children?
A little bit more rumpled than they used to look?
Yeah, sure. Physical appearance.
Yeah.
Interestingly, though, with addiction, the workplace is often the last place that you will see it. Because people hold on to their jobs.
Yeah.
You know, of course, with our economy the way it is, people very much need to hold on to their jobs. But I think it's true at any time. You'll hold on to your job, the outward appearance, as long as possible.
Right.
So oftentimes it's something more subtle that you'll see.
So that's called like a functioning alcoholic. I don't know what they call it in terms of pain pills.
Yeah. Well, it would be similar.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, we don't really use the term functioning alcoholic or functioning addict in the field of addiction medicine because the vast majority of people that have addiction or alcoholism are functioning.
Right. Right. So, okay. So that's sort of redundant then.
Well, in the sense, and so it boils down to how well are they functioning.
Right. Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Now, Sam in Newport has this interesting question. Are family interventions helpful in addressing a case of perceived prescription pill abuse?
Well, I think they can be very helpful. What's important, though, is to find an interventionist that's trained and specializes in it so that it can be handled properly. That person would then help the family to determine what's been going on, what information they have that would warrant perhaps this intervention, because interventions can go both ways.
Right.
And it really needs to be properly prepared for so that you have a good outcome, because the outcome really is going to be getting somebody some help.
Right.
Sometimes when you just sit down with a loved one and it's not well thought out or there's nothing really to document what you're saying, it can go sideways.
Yeah, you really have one good chance to do a great intervention that would really be meaningful.
Right.
Now, something I really want to ask you is, many say that alcoholism and chemical dependency are diseases. What's your opinion on that school of thinking?
That they are not diseases?
I'm asking you, are they or are they not?
Well, I believe they're diseases, and I would point to some of the similarities between alcoholism, addiction, and other chronic diseases. The first thing I would do is separate between acute and chronic diseases.
Mm-hmm.
So an acute disease is something like, let's say, strep throat or appendicitis, and you have medical care that addresses the acute problem. It gets treated, it doesn't come back, and you're basically done. Now, of course, someone can get strep throat again, but it's an acute illness versus chronic illnesses like hypertension, diabetes, asthma, emphysema, where you're going to receive treatment. There really isn't a cure for that disease, but there is treatment. And one of the things that's interesting is that with chronic diseases, the component of patient behavior associated with the treatment is much higher than with acute diseases. In other words, if someone has diabetes, they can come into the hospital, they can get appropriately treated, learn all about diabetes, how to give themselves insulin shots or whatever their treatment is. But at the end of the day, they're going to be in their own home with the opportunity either to have the piece of chocolate cake or not, check their blood sugars or not, give themselves their medication or not, go on a walk, et cetera, et cetera. And that's similar for alcoholism. At the end of the day, that person is going to be in a position either to follow a treatment plan
mm-hmm.
or they're not.
It's up to you, the patient, and you got to want to win it. You got to want to beat that disease. We want to thank you so, so much, Dr. Stephen R.I., Medical Director of Hogue Chemical Dependency Recovery Center. You can find out more about Dr. I by visiting hoguehospital.org. And also remember to share this good information with your friends, spouses, and your family by downloading a podcast of this show or any other show 24 hours a day on demand, which just means anytime you have a few minutes to listen. In our upcoming segment, we'll be talking about chemical dependency and the latest treatment options. So call a friend or two and let them in on this great free expert advice. I'm Deborah Howell for Hogue Health Radio. Stay tuned for much, much more straight ahead.